Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. All right, church, welcome back to the podcast. We are continuing on with this series, Beyond the Message, Three Questions from Sunday. Just a quick reminder, we will be transitioning this podcast to a feed of its own and getting back to some regular diet of monthly equipping podcasts or different series things here. But for the time being, you've got me, Sam, joining you with Pastor Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I feel like I could just come up with a different name for you every week and just try to pepper them all in and see how confusing we can make it. Like, no, I'm looking for Reverend Jacob.
Oh, you won't find him.
Okay. That's awesome. Jake, thanks for being here again this morning. So, it felt good. Yesterday, we're kicking off the 2 Corinthians series. So getting back in the regular rhythm of working through a book. How'd you feel? Feel like you're just hopping back on the bike and doing a regular rhythm into the school year?
It's always fun to be in a book study.
Yeah.
So I look forward to that, and kind of been reading 2 Corinthians for a while throughout the summer. So to actually get to this point as a church family to open up together is fun.
Yeah. I think to help our church kind of see how we work through, how'd you land on picking 2 Corinthians, and how long ago did we make that decision, and then kind of laying out the series, how do you go about all of that process?
Yeah, well, there's 66 books in the Bible. They're all good.
We looked at the ones we've done.
But also there's different themes in each letter that you prayerfully try to be like, what would God have for us at this time and of the season, through conversations, just through your own discernment, through your assessment of where we're at as a church, where we're at as a culture. And 2 Corinthians, I think, speaks to a lot of things we need to be looking at. So it's kind of led us to that.
Yeah, very cool. So overall, as we're looking through some upcoming things, so yesterday we talked a lot about comfort and suffering. What are some other themes that we're going to be encountering throughout the book of 2 Corinthians?
Suffering will continue.
Yep.
God's strength and our weakness. You know, we're like jars of clay. Mm-hmm. My favorite chapter in the letter, and probably my second favorite chapter in all the Bible, is 2 Corinthians 5. We're ambassadors for Christ.
Yep.
We live on mission. You get a section in there about generosity financially, just some really tangible, practical things that hit us where we're at.
Yeah, that's sweet. Which is super cool too, to see God's faithfulness of, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and 2,000 years later, still got the same problems. this still speaks to us, right? Like the themes and the underlying tone is still applicable to everyday life. So
yeah.
So nothing's new under the sun, right?
No.
This is the same issues. The Bible's relevant. We can apply it to our lives. So I'm super thankful, Jake, that we're working through this book, and we'll have up until Advent in 2 Corinthians, and then we've got Advent and then like a rhythm series.
Yeah, we do rhythms every year around the new year, just reinforce the importance of own personal prayer life and Bible reading. We'll take a do some Advent stuff, and then we'll get back into 2 Corinthians. It'll take us through May.
Sweet. Yeah, so school year in 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
So ready to rock and roll. A lot of people swung by the Resource Center. If you've been looking for us and you couldn't find us, we're on the other side of the temporary wall, kind of in the cafe area. But scripture journals and the 2 Corinthians For You books, people really appreciate those. And then we've got some other books, like there's Paul David Tripp's Suffering book in there. There's some other themes that we've seen throughout it that were like, these are good resources.
Great.
So swing by. Anybody that's looking for us and you couldn't find us, we're over there. But Jake, it was great yesterday jumping into 2 Corinthians. We were in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and working through just the challenge of suffering. Essentially, like they're saying, like the point that the super apostles were making was that since Paul's suffering, like
he can't be a real apostle. He's missing out on the good life, and it is pretty applicable to our day and age here and now.
Yeah.
Where it's like health, wealth, and prosperity can be pretty quickly assumed that like that's a showing of God's blessing mm-hmm. in your life. So if you're doing something, if you're suffering, you must be doing something wrong for God to be withholding his blessing.
Yeah.
And that's clearly not what this letter addresses. So main point yesterday was that comfort and suffering comes from hope in God. So Jake, what we always do, you know this, those listening, you probably know this. First question, if you had more time in your message to expand or include something else, what would that have been?
Yeah, more time. I always wish there's
message
more time.
Message part two. That's what this is, right?
Yeah, you study the text. There's so much just rich stuff in there. And you know, when we talk as a staff and preaching that, if you don't have good stuff on the cutting room floor, you didn't do your work. And, yeah, every week it's like, oh, I wish I had more time to talk about this. Depending on which service you were in.
Oh, no. I got to start going to all three?
Well, come 11 o'clock, I'm like, yeah, there's nothing after this.
Oh, no. Let's keep going. Sorry, 11 o'clockers.
Sorry.
No, yeah, actually, you get the best. You get the best.
Yeah,
to
it
come
depends. I guess
so
it depends
eight,
how you look at it.
We're getting jipped, man.
No, I mean, I touched on the themes that go further in, like, just the evidence of hope.
Yeah.
I think it's one thing to talk about hope. We're not against hope. We all want to profess hope, but to actually have it, I mean, the action of Paul setting his hope in there, it's like, it doesn't come. You can't be passive about it. You can't just yield to where your heart takes you in hope. You have to be active and intentionally setting your hope in God. I think spend more time in like, what does that mean? How do we do that? Would have been helpful, but then also just reinforcing that hope shows it should show in our demeanor. We talked in, I think, the 11 o'clock service, that meaning of many in verse 11 is, you know, literally faces. Let the thankfulness will be on your faces or the faces of many. You know, Peter, and you know, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you when people ask, because hope's evident. Psalm 42, when it's, you know, why are you so downcast, oh my, so hope in God. It's the hoping in God is the opposite of being downcast. And as Christians, we should be optimistic about our future, and it should show now.
Yeah.
So maybe drive that home a little bit more.
Which I love that. In Psalm 42, it's an identifying of the issue, but then it's not, all right, let's find a worldly solution. Mm. Like, let's medicate or let's recreate or let's entertain. It's no, like, it's a mental soul reminder of we have something to hope in that's more than this current circumstance situation in front of us. So the call for the soul, calling yourself and your own soul to not be downcast, even though that is what you are. Like, it's a commanding of your soul and not just like a word of faith or like a manifestation, but like independence on God, because there is something to hope in God.
Right? Yeah.
That's sweet. This was going to be my third question, but you went there. Anything else on expanding or adding? So I'm going to switch the order here.
I mean, there's so much you can try to unpack, just a better understanding of suffering, a better understanding of God's sovereignty in our suffering, better indicators of how do we know where we're misplacing our hope. I mean, suffering can be devastating to this life, but it can be refining to the next. So which one are you valuing more?
Yeah.
And how you embrace or resist suffering can be an indicator of that.
That's interesting. How you embrace or resist, which is countercultural to, like, it almost seems wrong to embrace suffering. Because culture would say, if you're suffering, the point is to eliminate the suffering or escape from it.
Yeah. Now, I don't think we need to make over-spiritualized suffering like you should pursue it.
Correct.
But
that's messed up.
It's part of a fallen world, and when it comes our way, how we handle it is telling. So that's important.
Yeah, that The Economics of Neighborly Love in that book. You had us read that a while ago, a couple guys here at church. But in that book, it was the first time that I saw this. You know, it addressed, like, okay, the prosperity gospel is not the gospel, but also the poverty gospel mm-hmm. is not the gospel. Yeah. The gospel is the gospel. And that was the first time that I ever heard the term, like, the poverty gospel. Yeah. And it's essentially like, there's no way for you to, like, have comfort in this life or enjoyment. You should be, like, completely free of joy. And all. It's like, no, like, there's actually joy can be found in God in this.
Yeah, life. And both are a test. I mean, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's in the context of saying, I know how to abound with much, and I know how to be brought low and have nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I can do either one through Christ. Right. So there's a
I'm content.
Yeah, and the proverb of make me neither rich nor poor.
Yeah.
There is a test in poverty, and there is a test in prosperity. And that can be a tough test to pass. Right. Yeah.
But the point is neither.
Yeah.
Point is to
hope in God.
Hope in God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sweet. So this was my third question. We're going to reorder this here. So second question. So you said it's possible to confess belief in God, but to set our hope in temporary things. What would be indicators that somebody is confessing belief in God, but actually has their hope set in something else?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think our emotions can be great indicators. How devastated are we? What is, do we react in anger? Are we stirred up with jealousy or revenge or whatever? Our emotions can be an indicator of, like, maybe that's where you'd set your hope.
Hmm.
And you're reacting this way because your hope, you had put hope in that and it was taken away.
Yeah.
And if your hope was in something solid, then it would be intact through this suffering, but right. It seems like it's crumbled. So I think emotions are great indicators of that.
It makes me think back to, I forget when that was, maybe a year or two ago, the asking the five questions of, like,
why? Yeah.
And why did I respond this way? Well, why do I believe that? Why am I having, like, and you, yeah. At some point we'll get to, like, is there a hope issue connected here?
Yeah.
Or is there, am I just relying on something right. that's going to fail me and I need to let that die?
And even positively, if it's like you just let, you know, you get extra joyful when somebody compliments you on this or yeah. you get this in your mm-hmm. life. So whether it's positive or negative, and it's not, we're emotional beings. We have positive and negative emotions. I'm just saying they can be indicators yeah. and we should press in and ask and kind of follow those emotions down to its source.
Yeah. I've heard of, like, when it's speaking about, I forget who said it, but speaking about emotions, oftentimes we can want to see that as the thermostat. How, like, that is set, like, our emotions, like, if our emotions are going well, that means that our life is going, but it's actually more of the thermometer mm-hmm. where it's actually indicating
yeah.
the current state of our soul. So yeah. not getting that backwards is super helpful. That's key.
And in our text, I think hope is also a producer of emotions
mm-hmm.
where, I mean, in the Psalm, he's contrasting, I'm downcast.
Yep.
Okay, I want to not be downcast. Hope in God. Paul's talking about, I have all this comfort. Why? Because I hope in God. So,
Yeah, that's sweet. Love it. All right, last question here. What can we do to go beyond understanding suffering, just understanding that suffering exists both to minister to others and lead to dependence on God? What does that practically look like to live that out? Sorry, not just. I added that in there. So going beyond what you said, that understanding suffering exists to both minister to others and lead to dependence on God, what does that look like as we live that out? How could somebody grow in that?
To not just mentally embrace the idea of suffering, but actually live it out?
Yeah.
I think coming back to we have to reinforce a broad perspective of eternity. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we're going to get lost. I think of Psalm 72 or 73.
Quick Google search.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
All right, I'm going to guess 73, but it could be 72. In that Psalm, that starts off with, my foot almost slipped. And he kind of this confession.
You're right, 73. There you
okay.
go. Good job.
There's this confession of just envying the mm-hmm. wicked because mm-hmm. they seem to be doing great. But he said, it wasn't till I came into the sanctuary of God and discerned their end that he felt better about his challenging circumstances. So I think we have to continually reinforce an eternal perspective to keep our priorities in line.
Yeah.
So when suffering comes, if you just have a temporary perspective, like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to have kids. I so wanted to have kids. This changes my dreams. Having family and a kid, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to aspire to. They're a blessing from God. But these circumstances maybe change that. And if your hope is just in this life, then that's going to be devastating. But if it's like, okay, I desired that, and that's okay. That's a good desire. But that's been taken away from me. I didn't live for that. I'm living to glorify God.
Yeah.
So where you might be saddened by a circumstance, you're not wrecked by it.
Yeah. And even in that, to see, man, infertility can be a whole nother, we'll talk about that, I think, in some upcoming podcasts. Sure. And, but even in that, man, I saw, I forget when this was, but just seeing like God's control, even in that, there's in the Old Testament, quite a few places where it says that God had closed her womb, where it's not this like, oh, they just couldn't have a baby. It's like, no, God was actually active in that to bring about his will and his plan. And that's not like a condemnation of that individual. But if we don't see God at work in that.
And we believe God is sovereign over everything.
Right.
There's nothing that happens that God is asleep at the wheel on. But having the open-handed, like, my life is for your glory.
Yes.
And if you're going to be glorified through this struggle, this trial, this suffering, then so be it.
Yeah.
I'm not living for this life. I have my, as Paul says in Philippians, like, I'm press on towards the upward call, the prize.
Yeah.
And that's the posture that's going to help us actually deal with suffering. Because one of the great blessings as a Christian is all suffering for us is temporary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just temporary.
Yep. Yeah. That one of the books I read this summer was Enjoying God. I think I've mentioned it a couple times, but one of the chapters was talking about hardship. And the thing that I really liked about that book was there's some discussion questions in each thing, and then like a practical application where it's like, this week, this is kind of the homework. But in that chapter on hardship, the homework that week was every time something goes wrong this week, thank God for the hardship in order that he is making you conform into the image of his son.
Yeah.
And just that, like, it seems so crazy to like, how can I thank God for when I feel like something goes, but it's like, no, that's actually, that can be our posture when God is our prize, when we are setting our hope in God.
Yeah. We just went through the book of James as a church not too long ago, and count it all joy, brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. Like, it's, we have a perspective of trials that's like, oh, this is what God uses to shape me, grow me, glorify himself, and it's just temporary.
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Yeah. We don't shrug off. That doesn't just mean, shrug it off. Not a big deal. Like, no, it can still be really hard. But we also aren't doing that in a vacuum where we're not struggling alone. Like, that's why even in that, where and James is addressing the group of believers, it's like, count it all joy, my brothers, together, when you face, like, when y'all face trials of various kinds. So it's that collectiveness where our suffering is not meant to be like shared for the sake of like, oh, look how hard I have it. But it's actually exactly what you said yesterday, can minister to other people in that suffering. And we allow others to minister to us while we're in the midst of that. So, sweet. Jake, I loved yesterday, loved jumping back into a book study. I'm excited for the rest of 2 Corinthians this school year and everything that's happening. Seems like there's just like a general buzz, and it's not it could be easy to be like, oh, well, it's like the building updates and everything. No, it's actually like kickoff. Salt Company kicked off last night at Kirkwood Courts. You know, we've got student ministry kickoff coming. We had Saturday, we had I forget how many.
Connect Group Leader kickoff.
I didn't count, but we had, I mean, we're at Vets Memorial, and we had a large chunk of our connection group leaders are gathered.
That's great.
Like, just to see God's hand at work and all of that, and knowing that, like, It's not because we have it figured out, but it's because God's deciding to bless us with his favor and call us into the ministry that he has for us for his glory.
Yeah. So, and I love how our people love the Bible. Yeah. A number of people talk to me like, I'm so excited to get into 2 Corinthians and just dig in there. And that's just a sweet part of this family.
Yeah. That's sweet. Oh, another thing. So just want to mention here quick. We had, this was maybe a couple months ago, just as an adult ministry team, had quite a few things where we were thinking of like, hey, what are articles that we want? What are kind of consistent conversations that we're having with people? And we were reading, Is God Really in Control? And there's a chapter and a lot of kind of ongoing talk about suffering and hardship in there. And I asked Matthew to write an article about training to suffer. So we were like just finishing that up last week.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Then I'm sitting there yesterday morning, 8 a.m. and I'm like, we have to post that article this week.
Yeah.
Like we got to get, so we're switching that around. So that article is going to come out and really, I think dovetailed really well with your message yesterday, but just that intentionality and like we can train to suffer well by knowing God's word and being dependent upon him and seeing a bigger picture for what our lives are here for his glory. So be on the lookout for that, church. Excited to keep going through 2 Corinthians. Let's keep doing it for God's glory. Love you guys.